Welcome to the FCCI Pathway to Purpose podcast. As a Christian business leader, how do you integrate your faith with business? And how do you leverage the platform of business to draw others closer to Christ? FCCI has been helping Christian business leaders on this journey since 1977, and we pray that the content you find here will serve you well in that endeavor. You can find additional resources and opportunities to engage with other Christian business leaders at fcci.org. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Last night I told you this study that was made. Incidentally, there are several studies that came out this year about customer satisfaction. And please help me, this has to sink in, what I'm telling you now. We know it superficially, but somehow it doesn't seem to sink in with people. That the experience that a customer has in the transaction of buying any kind of product, it's not the product, but the experience that drives by far more the customer satisfaction. In fact, they say 86 to 87% the studies that were done this year. And 70% of the people that purchase something would, if they have a great experience, would rather deal with a company where they had a great experience with than with another company, even though they would get the same product for less money over here. And that is cross industries. And when I share that with some people that I deal with, I consult with a number of companies and speeches, number of companies, they say, well, it's different in our business. It's not true. It's not different. So wait a minute, that experience. Now, so let's explore that experience a little bit. That is, and what I address you, what the customer wants is, of course, a defect-free product, timeliness, and that has become also extremely important, responsiveness to telephone calls, to emails, to texts, and to a person. And then, of course, the caring aspect. And I'm addressing here the caring aspect, the so-called service aspect. So let's see, what is service? Well, what is service to people? Well, and again, I give you facts. I worked with behavioral analysts, with word analysts, and so on, to understand the deep effects so I could deliver it superior. So since I'm giving you facts, if I tell you something you don't agree with, it means you're wrong because I'm giving you facts. Okay? So what is, let's define service. You all are serving people. Your customer, you're serving your customer. And when I heard the stories about B2B, it's really a baloney statement. I mean, it's, B2B doesn't really exist. It's people in your organization who talk to people in the other organization. The business is not talking. It's human beings that deal with other human beings. And the way the other company feels is depending on how your human beings deal with those human beings. That is what it depends on. That's what that study says, clearly. So if that is true, I have to have total concentration on that. And I touched on some of the concentration last night, that I select the right people. Again, we created a profile behind each subcategory and worked on a profile. And foremost on a profile would be that they could deal with people properly, that they had relationship aptitude. There was relationship. They had the ability to relate to people. When we say, then we taught them day one. We told them that we work on relationship. Now, not only relationship with the customer, but also with relationship with each other in an organization to create the right work environment. And we told them in the first way that service is what we're here for. We are not servants. We are ladies and gentlemen. Our profession is service to ladies and gentlemen. We define ourselves by service, by being ladies and gentlemen. Now, if we are excellent in what we're doing, if we're not excellent in what we're doing, we define ourselves as servants. So then, of course, we explain what is service. Well, and now bear with me here. These are very important elements. They're so important, but why aren't they managed properly? Everybody manages everything else. Service has three steps to it. The first step of service is the instant you make contact. Now, mind you, now hear me. It's not a half a second later. It's that instant. And it is essential. The behavioral analysts tell you that you and I and everybody makes up their mind about the other person and consequently the other business the instant we make contact. It's that instant. So welcome is the first step of service. Welcome. Good morning. Not hi. What am I saying if I'm hi? I worked at Chick-fil-A years ago. I think I met Dan, I knew Dan Cathy, who is now the chairman, his father died. I met Dan, and he asked me, Chick-fil-A wasn't so large. We were running races together. That's why I wear funny shoes, because my feet are finished, you know, from running many marathons. Anyway, Dan said, well, Horst, have you been in a Chick-fil-A? And I said, sure. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, well, you're the best of a lousy lot, but you're not very good. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, let's go and experience it. And after I told him about it, he said, you have to teach that to all my managers and so on. So I went, and they had about 30 vice presidents there. Somebody from Chick-fil-A is here. You know the story. Dan tells it a little bit different. He tells the same story, but a little bit different. And he's wrong. I remember exactly what happened. It's true. I guarantee it's exactly what happened. There are about 30 managers and talked about service. And I said to them, look, the first step is essential to look them in the eye. Don't say hi. What am I saying when I say hi? I'm saying, you be equal. Hey, hi. Instead of saying, good morning, sir, how are you today? In that moment, I'm saying, you're important and I'm professional. And you want to deal with professional people. You want to deal with people who you trust. And if I have to say it that second. Put into your subconscious a positive mode. Now, this is of extreme importance. We had in Ritz-Carlton, we had about 400,000 comment cards in the room that you fill out. And when they looked into the Baldrige Award, which is very scientific, and we won it twice. Incidentally, nobody had won it twice. We won it. We were selected as the example of excellence in management. That's the Baldrige Award all about. We knew, but so the comment cards had no meaning, they said. They're not scientific. So I started working with J.D. Power at the time, and I told him about my 400,000 cards. He said, let's study them. And he came back, and he said, here is some meaning there. Now hear me. Whenever means when every time, when in the first four contacts, meaning reservation or sales, doorman, front desk, and bellman, when there was nothing negative, when there was nothing negative in the first contact, never ever did a complaint follow after. Never ever. Whenever there was one concern, always complaints happen afterwards. It wasn't clean enough, it wasn't friendly enough, it wasn't clean, the food wasn't good or whatever. So the first instant to put people subconsciously in a positive mode maintains, stays in them, they stay positive. So the first step of service is contact. We taught our people, if you come within 9 feet, no matter what you're doing, you look that guest in the eye, say, good morning, ma'am, good morning, sir, or welcome. Right away, say, positive. Everybody taught, no matter what you're going to do, what you're doing, it doesn't matter. You look up and look him in the eye and say, welcome. First step of service. It's a moment of excellence. When you start a new business, what do? You look at what industry you want to start a new business in. You look at what market segment. And what we did very carefully is looking, what does that market segment want? And I can tell you, in our business, it's probably the first time somebody did it. Carefully. Pretty scientifically. What do the customer in this market segment want from us? It was clear. We want to speak to the top market segment. It was clear. I hired people that had the same dream. We came for a vision, for a dream. It wasn't a plan. It was a dream. To become the absolute leader in the top market segment in the hotel business. So we have to say, if I can give this market segment what it wants in my product, more sufficient to them than the competition can, and if at the same time I'm more efficient than the competition, then I have a great company. So I have to understand first, what do they want? That's the first thing I have to do if I run a company. I have to not think what is right for me. I was tempted always to say, I know what I want. In fact, I know better than they do. After all, I have a European accent. I know the hotel better than they. But I wasn't. refrain from it. And I looked what the market segment wants. And then I looked, how can we make it efficient? Then we looked at the processes that it takes to deliver what that market segment wants. Very simple. We looked what processes does it take to deliver what they want. How can I do it all the time? And hopefully defect-free. Now, what did they want? And this is key element. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, leaders of businesses, do we know what the market wants? No, not what you want. What the market, your market wants. Do we really know that? That's the number one key question we have to ask ourselves, because we always try to put ourselves in there. You are an opinion of one. It's not a survey, what you have. It's what does the market want, and then deliver to that market what the market wants. And then be an example in it. And as you lead toward doing that, building that company and have people, you of course make sure you have people that are willing to deliver what that market wants. Your employees. I mean, we have to ask ourselves a short question here. Who will do a better job? The employee who is controlled and has to do the job, or the employee who wants to do what you're doing? We did the orientation. I did the orientation, and our managers do the orientation. Here is our heart and soul. Join me. Here's our dream. Join. You're not here to work. You're here to accomplish this dream by working. And that is, of course, the very definition of the model of leadership, to have that vision and align people toward the vision. The second thing in leadership is to be committed to it, not have a pipe dream, but be committed. The third step in that model of leadership, is to initiate the steps that it takes to get to that vision in 5 or 10 years, whatever it is, what we dream. The dream should be beautiful. The dream should be exciting. If the dream is not accomplished, at least the journey will be beautiful. So we join, we share it. The manager, clearly, the leader has to have that commitment and start the initiative. The breakdown in men and leaders, that happens. And believe me, I studied that. Not scientifically. I studied it. Unscientific statement here. The difference between managers and leaders. The leader stays focused on the vision. The manager, very soon after, starts making excuses as to why it may not work. And I see it all the time. I saw it all the time with so many managers. The managers, when you came and asked him, how about your hotel? The managers immediately said, if I had a different restaurant, if I had a larger ballroom, if constantly excuses, the leader said, within a year, this city will think of my hotel as their hotel and everybody will love it. This so constantly focused on the dream while the manager focused on excuses. That's the model of a leader. And that leader aligns the employees behind the vision, behind the objective, and teaches them the processes, teaches them. And finally, what we did, now remember, what we did to keep the employees aligned to us, we showed them the vision. We had the right orientation. We selected them right. We had the right orientation. We taught them the process. And finally, we sustained what we taught them in the beginning. The points that we taught them, there were basically 24 points that we taught them the first 3 days. And I knew if this is done 100%, we still make a lot of mistakes most likely. But if that is done, we are probably a better hotel than anybody else has. But certainly we are friendlier. We taught those things very carefully. And from there on, as soon as the hotel opened, we teach those 24 points, keep on teaching them. Every day, still in my company now, in my office, you can come and visit me at 9:35 in the morning. We have what we call a lineup, where we repeat one of those points, 24 points. In 24 days, we repeat it again. Because those 24 points, I have to remind them. And of course, managers were embarrassed to repeat and repeat it every 24 days again. And said, come on, they know it. It's kind of embarrassing. Well, wait a minute. Is there anybody in this room who doesn't know what Coca-Cola is? Everybody knows what Coca-Cola is. Then why the heck do they still advertise? Yes. Yes, they know it. But do you drink it? You have to be reminded. Same thing this. Keep it alive. So we have the right selection, the right orientation, the right teaching process, and we sustain it. We keep it alive. Today, for example, in every hotel, our hotel, if that is in China or in Russia or in Indonesia or in Singapore or in Mexico or in Alabama, we were teaching point number 11. Point number 11 says, when a guest encounters any difficulties, you are responsible to own it. If you had a problem with a toilet in this room, you are the waiter, you own the toilet. And you say, please forgive me. I will take care of it. In fact, I feel bad. I buy you breakfast. They're empowered. They're aligned. They're empowered. They own it. They will be reminded today. They will be reminded of that. And we give them examples of what happened. So we are aligning the employees to our, to what we're doing. And we're reminding them the 24 points which they learned the first 3 days in orientation. That's how we did it. Now, what is Christian about that? What Christian about it is that in the process, management respecting the employees as ladies and gentlemen, because that's expected too. Not only they say they are, that they're learning that. And each manager becoming a mentor, and the leader, the president, the CEO should be a mentor to all. Mentor doesn't mean necessarily you sit down with them and help them through. Mentor is showing what it is. I make sure that I'm a mentor in it. I make sure they know my belief system. And that when I come Friday mornings when we've been meeting our little Bible class for over 30 years with Bobby Mitchell, and sometimes we get carried away fixing the world. I don't understand why they don't get it, what we're fixing. I come late to our lineup in the office. And I always say, please forgive me. You know, Fridays I go to Bible class. That's why I'm late. Everybody knows who I am. And we live, and the number one thing, we give the employee the respect of Christians. After all, the employees are neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. An overwhelming statement in our word, in the word of God. It overwhelmed me when I really internalized that. That Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Thanks for listening to FCCI's Pathway to Purpose podcast. FCCI is a global movement of servant leaders who help each other lead companies for Christ. And the value of this content is greatly enhanced when you journey together with other Christian business leaders from around the world. Learn more at FCCI.org. And let others know about the great content you've discovered here on the podcast. Thanks for listening and leading a company for Christ.